from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Mina Kim, in for Michael Krasny. Mr. Rogers once said, "When I was a boy and I would see scary things in the news, my mother would say to me, 'Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping.'" Well, today on Forum, that's what we're doing. Tell us the ways you are helping amid this COVID-19 pandemic, or tell us if you have questions about how to help. And if you need help, tell us that too. We want to know next on Forum after this news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Mina Kim, sitting in today for Michael Krasny. We're looking for the helpers, as Mr. Rogers urged us to when things got scary. And in this coronavirus pandemic, people in the Bay Area need help. Some need help picking up groceries or other supplies. Some need financial support to make rent or mortgage payments, while others just need conversation to ease the loneliness that can come with social distancing. Luckily, there are people here who want to help and are in a position to help, or are finding creative ways to help while honoring social distancing. And if that's you, tell us what you're doing and how others can join you. Give us a call at 866-733-6786, or tell us on Twitter, Facebook at KQED Forum, or email us at forum@kqed.org. Joining us is Josh Friday. He's Chief Service Officer of California Volunteers in the Office of the Governor. Thanks for joining us, Josh Friday.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And your organization leads service, volunteer, and civic engagement efforts throughout California. Tell us why service is so important at this time. I mean, it's not just a benefit to others, but to ourselves, right?
That's absolutely right. Service and volunteerism, especially at this time, is more important than ever. We are, as a state, facing a crisis that not only affects everyone, but every California can actually be part of the solution in helping our state get through this and then helping all of us get through this, really. And it starts with following the health guidelines that is put out by the California Department of Public Health. But I think we really believe, and the governor really believes, that it's going to take everyone to meet this moment. And we all need to help each other get through this by volunteering, by being kind, by being connected emotionally with our neighbors. And so we're calling on everyone that is healthy and able to volunteer, to reach out via text or phone calls or emails to friends and really make this a time for us to come together.
So what are some of the specific ways that you're recommending people serve?
So first and foremost, we encourage everyone to go to a website that was created by California Volunteers, serve.ca.gov, which gives a list of a variety of different ways that people can safely make an impact today, especially in this crisis. So some of the things that we're seeing are needed and impactful are delivering meals, especially to those who are most isolated and vulnerable. We also are encouraging people to make donations to shelters and to food banks with either monetary donations or otherwise. Volunteering at a food bank is incredibly important. We've seen a dramatic decrease in volunteers that are necessary to sustain food banks, which are seeing increasing needs, especially in this economic environment. And so we're encouraging people to go to food banks and volunteer. I'm going to be at the Sacramento Food Bank this afternoon myself volunteering. People can also donate blood. The Red Cross is seeing a huge decrease in the amount of blood that they need at their blood centers to be donated. And then lastly, I think, and potentially most importantly, is neighbors really are going to be on the front lines of this crisis. And so the governor has called on every Californian that's able in a neighbor-to-neighbor campaign we launched last week to check on your neighbors, to text them, to call them, to reach out and make sure that they're okay. We received a message this morning from a woman named Jean who is at home alone. She's in her 80s. Her husband's a World War II veteran with congestive heart failure. They've been isolated for over a week without food supplies and don't have family and friends near them. And they reached out to ask how they can get just simple food supplies. And we're seeing this up and down the state. So it's more important than ever for neighbors to reach out and make sure that someone close to you is taken care of.
Yeah, I saw this sweet story about how people are using their tiny libraries to put out pantry items like toilet paper or cans of food for neighbors who need it. Sometimes people have even put in alcohol or Girl Scout cookies, I guess, also things like that for people to help ease their time. But if people do go to your website and they want to volunteer or do the things that you've suggested, what exactly do they need to input to figure out where the need is and how, you know, close it is to them, how convenient it is for them to get to it?
Sure. What you'll see on our website at serve.ca.gov is a list of opportunities that people can make a difference, but also links and information for how people can find support needs locally. So how people can get connected with their local food bank or local nonprofits that may need help, whether it's Meals on Wheels or otherwise. So this is going to happen. All the good work is going to happen very much at the local and the community level, neighborhood by neighborhood. And so what we want to do is make sure people have the resources to connect locally and make a difference in their neighborhood.
And so you also mentioned that people should do these sort of texts and emails to check on people. I mean, is there something specific that you recommend people do, people ask to make sure people are safe?
Yeah, first and foremost, this is a time for us to be connected. It's an isolating time, but it doesn't mean we can't be emotionally connected, and it's really important that people just know that someone's thinking about them. So first is to check on your neighbors and make sure that they're okay. Second is we are seeing people who, because they're isolated or otherwise, don't have access to basic necessities. And it starts with food, but it's other supplies as well. So making sure that people have meals and understand that there's a lot of resources out there. Also on our website at serve.ca.gov, we have a list of resources that people without food or feeling food insecure can go to find meals and have meals delivered to their home. So asking about meals is a first, and then also just making sure that people know that they can still call their county offices or they can still call their doctors and get the support that they need. But it's the reach out and it's the touch that is the most important at this moment.
Well, we've got calls coming in from people who'd like to share how they're helping or how others could help them. And I'll start with Terry in Sebastopol. Hi, Terry. Oh, I'm sorry. Renee in San Francisco. Hi, Renee.
Hi, good morning. My name is Renee Espinoza, and I'm the executive director of San Francisco CASA. We have over 300 volunteers who are working one-on-one with foster youth right now. If you can imagine the social isolation that we're all facing, if you're a young person removed from your home and placed in perhaps a home that you're not accustomed to, the isolation is even doubled. Many of our young people are actually placed out of county. So our volunteers are connecting with them on a daily basis, calling them, ensuring that they have their schoolwork. Just listening to them is really important right now with the increase of social isolation. So San Francisco CASA volunteers, that's what they're doing. So I would encourage folks that are in a neighborhood where there's kids to even go out and just, as you're doing your daily walk or exercise, wave to kids, be a familiar face for them, because we never know what's happening in the home and what the situation is. So encourage, again, just being neighborly. And for all of the CASA volunteers in San Francisco and in the Bay Area and beyond, just want to thank you for going above and beyond to support our kids right now.
And Renee, are you needing volunteers at San Francisco CASA volunteers?
Yes, you can always visit our website at sfcasa.org and sign up. The process is a little bit longer than immediate, but I would encourage you to do so because our young people are going to be facing social isolation and distancing for many months to come. Currently, social worker visits and family visits have been halted. So they're in real severe isolation mode at this moment, and we're doing our best to communicate with them, check in on them, and ensure their safety and well-being.
Well, Renee, thanks for telling us about that. Tiffany writes, my father is 78 years old and has been a Meals on Wheels volunteer for over 20 years with his Rotary Club. He loves it and hardly ever misses a shift. He's insisting on doing this his part and delivering food next Monday, and my sisters and I don't want him to put himself or our mother at risk. I'm wondering how Meals on Wheels is working to meet their mission while keeping their volunteers and clients safe. It seems like such an essential service, but how can volunteers balance the risk? Josh Friday, any thoughts for Tiffany?
Yeah, Tiffany, I certainly understand there's a lot of fear out there, and I think what we're asking all volunteers to do is what we're asking every Californian to do, which is to follow the guidelines that the California Department of Public Health has put out with regard to safe social distancing and washing hands, and if you are sick, to stay at home. And we have advised those who are at risk to stay at home as well, and if you're in the at-risk demographic, unless needed. But there certainly is fear out there, but that's why what we've done at the website, serve.ca.gov, is provide opportunities for everyone to make a difference. So if you can't do Meals on Wheels, there's certainly many other ways that you can have an impact today. And one thing I just would note that, and I appreciate Renee's comments, and thank you, Renee, for everything that she does and their incredible organization, is that everyone is facing a time of isolation. And what one of the things that we are trying to promote is that there's a lot of research that shows that volunteering and having the emotional connection that comes with volunteering actually decreases depression, it decreases anxiety, it builds emotional connections, and it's really important that in this time that people stay connected emotionally. And so again, to Tiffany, I would just to ask her to and everyone else out there to continue to follow the guidelines that are being put out by the Department of Health, and then we'll be able to keep everyone safe.
We're joined now by Olivia Allen Price. She's a host and producer for KQED's Bay Curious and recently wrote a piece about how to donate personal protective equipment for doctors and nurses. Of course, frontline health workers are reporting face masks and other personal protective equipment are running low at some facilities or being rationed. Olivia, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Mina.
Yeah, so tell us what types of equipment specifically that healthcare facilities are looking for.
Well, they're looking for personal protective equipment, or PPE is what they call it. And that's stuff like gowns that medical staff can wear, protective eyewear, specifically goggles that can seal all the way around the eyes, gloves, specifically nitrile gloves. Those are gloves that are made from a certain type of rubber that isn't as irritating to some people as latex. Also basic stuff like hand sanitizer. Just like we're having trouble finding it in the grocery store, they're also having trouble getting their hands on it. Disinfecting wipes like Clorox wipes. But one of the biggest needs is face masks, specifically N95 masks. And those are, you know, certainly things that people might have in their homes coming out of wildfire season, because a lot of us were wearing those as air quality got bad here.
And you and KQED have confirmed specific places that people can donate and how they should donate. Can you give us a quick overview of that?
Yeah, so a lot of health facilities have set up drop-off points and certain times of the day where you can bring any of these donations that you might have. So examples of places doing that are UCSF, Santa Clara Valley Medical Foundation, Kaiser Permanente in San Francisco. There are many others. Those are just a couple of the bigger ones. And then a few counties have actually come on board, and so they're actually organizing programs to donate to the county, and then they will distribute to where the need is. So San Mateo and Contra Costa counties are doing that so far. There's also options to mail in your donations. I know Stanford Medicine in Livermore and Redwood City are taking mail-in donations, as is Northeast Medical Services in San Francisco. And then furthermore, there's also some community groups who will actually come to your house and pick up a donation, and they will take it to a medical facility if you're not comfortable leaving your house at this point. So there's lots of different ways that you can donate, and it really varies by the medical facility at this point. So probably the best thing you can do is you can check our guide at kqed.org. There's also a directory online that's sort of more nationwide called giveusppe.org. So if you're outside the Bay Area or you just want to see maybe a larger list of places, you can check there and get some specifics on how to donate.
And you're encouraging people not to draw on facility resources to make their donation. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so you just want to make sure that if information is available out there about how the facility wants to receive donations, whether it's by mail or in person during a certain time, that you're adhering to those guidelines. And also checking to make sure what they're asking for. Not every place wants all the items that I've mentioned today. So seeing that you are taking, you know, specifically what they're asking for to that facility. And finally, that it's in the right condition. There's a bit of a range. So some facilities are accepting, for example, a medical supply that may have been opened but is unused. Some facilities are still requiring everything needs to be completely sealed. So if you were to bring maybe like an opened box of N95 masks, they might not be able to use that. So you just want to make sure that what you're taking is going to match what the facility needs. Because if you end up taking something they don't need, like that's time that they're going to have to spend going through it, deciding they're not going to use it, storing it, or throwing it away. It's just kind of time and material wasted.
And what about homemade supplies? Julianne writes, I've been sewing masks for regular people so they can protect their immune system without buying masks or donating ones that they already have to medical professionals. Are hospitals taking homemade supplies? She's specifically sewing masks, she says, for regular people. But I know that there's been a movement to try to also make surgical masks and things like that for frontline workers.
Yeah, at this point, none of the medical facilities that I've spoken with are taking those homemade masks or homemade products. People are also making face shields and a couple other garments. There are community groups who are taking those and distributing them to people who are at risk in the community. Yeah, kind of more, you know, everyday residents who might wear them. So I should say that the CDC does have a plan that if face masks were to hit crisis capacity, hospitals or medical facilities could use homemade masks, bandanas, stuff like that. That's kind of later down the road, and hopefully we're not going to get there, but there is a point at which a health facility might be taking something like that.
KQED's Olivia Allen Price of Bay Curious. Remind us again the title of the piece online for people to get this information.
So if you go to kqed.org, it should be at the top of the page right now. It's called Where to Donate N95 Masks and Other Medical Supplies in the Bay Area.
Thanks, Olivia.
Thanks, Mina.
And Josh Friday, so as Julianne mentioned that she's sewing masks for regular people, she clearly has sewing skills. Is there a way to match your skill set specifically or to input that on your website to figure out where your skills are most needed?
We are taking intake from people who have specific skills and figuring out how to match that. So, yeah, if people can go to our website and sign up and email us on our website at serve.ca.gov, we are matching specific skills to specific needs throughout the state. And again, this is an issue that affects everyone, and it's also an issue that every Californian can be part of the solution on. So we encourage everyone to think about how they can contribute in a meaningful way and take action today.
And Josh Friday, I know you need to leave us, so any final thoughts you want to leave us with before we let you go?
Thank you, Mina. This is just an extraordinary crisis that we're all going through together, and it's a time when California needs you. California needs neighbors, and California needs everyone to be part of the solution, which is why the governor has called on everyone to check on their neighbors and make sure they're okay, and also volunteer in a safe way if you're able to. This really is a time for all of us to come together, and as the first partner, Jen Siebel Newsom, often says, we have an opportunity to create a culture of me to we in this. We can meet the moment. This is a time for California to meet the moment. California needs you. We need everyone to step up. And we're grateful for everyone being safe and reaching out to their neighbors.
Josh Friday, Chief Service Officer of California. Thanks again.
Thank you, Mina.
We're looking for the helpers in this segment of Forum. What are you doing in your neighborhood? How are you helping others amid the COVID-19 outbreak? Or what questions do you have about how to help? Or tell us also if you need help. The number 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. You can also get in touch on Twitter, Facebook at KQED Forum, or email your questions to forum@kqed.org. I'm joined now by Susan Bateson. She's Executive Director of Alameda County Community Food Bank. Thanks for joining us, Susan.
Thank you for having me this morning.
So tell us about the need you're seeing right now.
So our need has grown exponentially over the past few days. Our helpline volume, we have an emergency food helpline at Alameda County Community Food Bank. The callers and volume of referrals have grown tenfold in just a little bit over a week. Right now, social workers and seniors are calling with extreme desperation in their voices, and we are trying to deploy food as rapidly as we can into the community.
And what do your volunteers typically do?
Well, we have volunteers that are still coming on site. They're helping us sort food. We're fortunate in that our community engagement center at Alameda County Community Food Bank is more than an acre of space, and so we can practice social distancing. I do want to say to listeners that our volunteer roster is full right now, but this is fluid, and so people can check our website daily, and that's accfb.org, to see if there's ways that they can help. I also really appreciated what Josh said this morning about helping our neighbors. We're in California, we are the best community. In the Bay Area, we are phenomenal at really reaching out to people. And this person-to-person outreach, I think, is going to be critical as we get through this pandemic.
Well, speaking of neighbors, Peter writes, I posted a notice in our neighborhood blog for therapeutic baking, offering some of my sourdough starter for those interested in baking sourdough bread during these trying times. To date, I've had 7 people come by with containers for a small bit of starter. Finding flour has still been a problem, but it's a start. Baking pun from Peter. Thank you, Peter, for that. And let me go to caller Terry in Sebastopol. Hi, Terry.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. Tell us what you're doing.
I am a grief counselor, and I am aware of so many different types of losses that we're having, obviously financial loss and loss of social contact. We're experiencing something called institutional loss when we don't have faith in our governments and corporations to support us. So I'm offering free telephone grief counseling to people in my community who are struggling with all these losses because it's so wrapped up in the fear and anxiety and anger that everybody's feeling. And many people don't realize that there's actually grief at the root of that.
And so if people want grief counseling, what should they do?
Well, the best way to find me, I guess, would be through my website, spiritualityandgrief.com. I am a clinical chaplain, so I my training is in hospice chaplaincy, but it's not religious. It's just kind of pastoral care. And that would be the best way for people to find me, spiritualityandgrief.com.
Well, Terry, thanks. Terry in Sebastopol, appreciate hearing from you today. You know, Susan Bates, and I was struck by something that you said, which was that you're full of volunteers now, but that the situation is fluid. What could change?
We are going to do more direct distributions into the community. We work with about 250 agency partners. 50 of them have closed, and that's appropriate. Not everybody can serve during a pandemic. But there are many organizations that are members of food banks, like mine, that are using volunteers to help them hand out food as well. And so I think there are opportunities in the community, and there will be more as we, you know, learn how to live in this new normal. Lastly, I want to say that food banks in the Bay Area and across the country are working night and day to serve the community, and that we're not only first responders, we are going to be there for the duration, as long as people need us.
We're talking about ways to help during the coronavirus pandemic. More after the break. I'm Mina Kim. You're listening to Forum. We're talking about ways to help during the coronavirus pandemic, and we want to hear from you. What are you doing to help in your neighborhood or beyond? The number to call, 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. You can also get in touch on Twitter, Facebook at KQED Forum, or email your questions or your stories to forum@kqed.org. We've got Susan Bateson with us. She's executive director of Alameda County Community Food Bank. And Susan, our break music there had to cut you off, but I did want to just follow up quickly and ask you if you are looking for specific donations, whether it be of food or resources. I mean, do food banks want food donations?
Yes, we do, but we need food by the truckload. So if food manufacturers are out there and can help us, we are open for business. We are trying to buy food. We would, of course, like it donated. Where our supplies are running short is on things like shelf-stable protein, tuna, peanut butter, canned chicken, things like that. So we're looking for that. Also, your Bay Area food banks are bagging food by the minute and hour and through the afternoons. And so bags, particularly those heavier weight plastic bags, if there's a manufacturer out there that can help us with those, you can send that information to me at info@accfb.org.
And this listener asks, Governor Gavin Newsom has ordered the California National Guard to deploy to food banks across the state. Are you seeing that effort at your food bank?
I hear that in Sacramento they are helping. We have been in communication with the National Guard, but so far have not received any help. And Bay Area food banks have not been helped by the National Guard as yet. Which is why we're using community volunteers and ramping up on our own.
Well, we've got calls coming in, and I'm going to go to Kosheek in San Francisco. Hi, Kosheek.
Hi, Mina. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Go right ahead.
I wanted to share a little bit about a program that we're actually launching today. I'm the executive director of a longtime nonprofit called the Shanti Project, and we are partnering with the city's Department of Disabilities and Aging Services to call for people who want to volunteer on a one-time basis or an occasional basis. We have a lot of folks who are older or vulnerable or homebound that will need errands done. Of course, you've heard from your other guests that people can drop off groceries or do grocery shopping, also assistance with even garbage and mail pickup, picking up meds and essentials. So this is actually being publicized today. So I wanted to see if I could share that with you.
Well, thanks so much for telling us about it, Kosheek. Any other final info for people to get in touch if they're interested?
Absolutely. So they could visit, they could send an email to helpnow@shanti.org, shanti.org, or they can just go to the website, shanti.org. We do ask that volunteers are in good health and that they will receive training and adhere to all the city's protocols. But if anyone's interested, they should reach out and we can give them all the information.
Well, Kosheek, thanks for letting us know. And speaking of nonprofits, we're joined now by Kira Kazantzis. She's CEO of Silicon Valley Council of Nonprofits. Hi, Kira. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So what kind of help are Silicon Valley nonprofits needing right now?
Yeah, thank you for asking. Our nonprofit alliance is comprised of about 300 nonprofits in Santa Clara County, and we're really working together with our hospital system to be on the front lines of this crisis. We have community health and mental health clinics, homeless outreach workers, case managers, shelter workers, and of course our food banks and emergency assistance providers. But they're really facing really steep challenges in getting these jobs done. They're short on staff, they're short on volunteers and money and supplies. Social distancing and people falling ill or they're taking care of their sick family members exacerbates all of that. We also, like the hospital system, we're also looking for sources for masks, hand sanitizer, disinfectants, touchless thermometers and things like that that make, for example, food distribution safe. We've seen some incredible pivots. All the nonprofits, like most businesses, have to pivot to deliver these essential services. So mental health agencies are telecounseling. Workers who are sorting and handing out food have to stand 6 feet away from each other. And not every nonprofit has the space for that.
That's such a good point. I mean, there's so many roles that people can play that also do require, you know, hand sanitizer, protective equipment, gloves, things like that. And it's important for people to be able to have access to those things. We're joined on the line now by Elena Chavez Quezada. She's director of programs at San Francisco Foundation. Hi, Elena Chavez Quezada.
Hi, Mina.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
One of the things that I was really interested in that the San Francisco Foundation is doing, besides funding nonprofit organizations, is that you've launched an emergency response fund to try to get money into the hands of people as quickly as possible. Can you tell us about that fund and what it's focused on doing?
Absolutely. Thanks for asking. So I would just say this is the rainy day. So we talk about saving up for a rainy day, and it's here. And there's so many organizations in need. We've heard from some of them today, and there's so many people in need. So if you're able, I would just say this is the time to kind of put your money to work and help your neighbors. And that's the word community, and what it really means in practice has never been more important. So there's no shortage of funds, and I want to direct people to the Philanthropy California website for more information. The San Francisco Foundation has started a COVID-19 emergency response fund. It's up and running. We already have hundreds of applications in process. We're supporting worker protections, homelessness and renter protections, food security, and racial bias. So please go to sff.org for more information. And I just want to flag there are so many ways that philanthropy is mobilizing with my fellow community foundation colleagues in Silicon Valley, the East Bay, United Way, Tipping Point, and the cities are responding as well with funds of their own.
And so if people want to contribute to this fund, is there also an expedited way? Like if they have money to give, right, what should they do?
If they have money to give, I would say one option is if you go to our website, sff.org, there's a very easy way to contribute there. And all of these other foundations and funds are also amazing options. So this philanthropyca.org is a great resource.
And, you know, one of the things that I know San Francisco Foundation does is it partners with an organization that helps people with specific skills plug in. What is that?
Yeah, so there's an organization called Catch a Fire. And if you go to catchafire.org, you'll find some more information. And this is a service that links skilled volunteers with nonprofits who need support. The concept is really simple. You browse volunteer opportunities posted by nonprofits. You create a profile. You apply through a brief application, maybe 10 minutes. You have a conversation with the organization, and if both sides align, there's a match, and you can begin working together. And I just want to flag that, you know, a lot of these projects are actually have always been happening virtually. So projects range from website design to budget development, coding, IT support, graphic design, copy editing. So there's a lot of need out there, obviously, and a lot of ways for volunteers to contribute.
And it's called Catch a Fire. Elena Chavez-Quezada is Director of Programs at San Francisco Foundation. We also have Kira Kazantzis with us, CEO of Silicon Valley Council of Nonprofits, and Susan Bateson, Executive Director of Alameda County Community Food Bank. And you, our listeners, telling us how you're helping or whether you'd like to help, what you can do, or if you need help. The number 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. We're at KQED Forum on Twitter and Facebook, and our email address is forum@kqed.org. And Christine writes, how about some ideas for high school age students to help? It would be a great learning experience, and I think there could be a good response. Many of them have cars. Any thoughts on this, Kira Kazantzis? High school students.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure that's safe, to be honest. We are encouraging volunteers to go through Silicon Valley Strong down here in San Jose and in the greater Silicon Valley area. It's a central vetting service that San Jose Mayor Liccardo and Board President Chavez stepped up and launched this effort so that we can have a centralized coordination for volunteers. I think at the folks on the back end of that can look and see who can really help, what their skills are, what their abilities are. Can they work remotely? Can they work on the ground? I think folks should continue to shelter in place until they're given the clearance that they are safe and they can be protected on the job when they're a volunteer.
And this listener asks, where should individuals donate smaller amounts of food? I think this is for you, Susan Bateson.
smaller amounts of food. That's a really good question. I wish I could answer it right now. I don't know of any places that are collecting food, so I think this is where we go back to the neighbor-to-neighbor type approach. Also, thinking about organizations that normally serve, like religious organizations that might still be open. If that person is in Alameda County and wants to direct that question to info@accfb.org, I will have a better answer in the future.
Thanks, Susan. Well, let me go to caller Erica in Santa Cruz. Hi, Erica. Hi, Erica. Are you with us?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just want to say I've been a recipient of help. I'm 75 and I'm, you know, supposed to stay in the house, which I'm doing. And recently I've joined a group called Extinction Rebellion that works to try and stop the climate emergency. And people, young people mostly that I barely know, have been calling me to check in and see if I'm okay and bringing me vitamin C and food. And it's been an amazing experience, really. So to everybody out there who is looking in on people who can't go out, thank you, because it means everything. Thanks for this program. It's really helpful.
I'm so glad to hear it. I can, if I was interpreting right, you're getting a little choked up just thinking about what you've been seeing and hearing from people.
Yeah, it is really incredible. I love California. I love the Bay Area. I just think there's so much good. And in the looking at the national picture, it's hard to remember that sometimes. But
Erica, really appreciate
people.
Yeah, I really appreciate you sharing that. And I think we have Paige Wheeler-Fleury on the line. She's co-founder of Oakland at Risk. And it matches healthy adults to help a person get supply. So something kind of along the lines of what Erica's describing. Paige Wheeler-Fleury, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us about Oakland at Risk.
Well, I co-founded this with a good friend who actually runs a program that delivers free groceries to low-income seniors. And in the 2 weeks leading up to our shelter in place, she started seeing sites closing. Fewer seniors were showing up to get groceries. And we realized there would really be a need for this. So she sent an email out to me on one day, and by the next day we had our site up. And we have matched about 200 people so far. We have 900 volunteers. And it's really a great way for people who really shouldn't be out in public right now and putting themselves at risk to receive groceries, medication, and in some cases daily check-ins from someone who just wants to know they're okay. And we're trying to do this by matching neighbor to neighbor, which has been a topic in this program.
Yeah, and how can people sign up?
If you go to oaklandatrisk.com, you have the opportunity to sign up as a volunteer or as someone at risk who would like assistance. It's a really simple Google doc that they end up going to. We get their information, we keep it private, and then we match people, in some cases, with people in their same building, people who live across the street from them. It's been amazing some of the connections we've been able to make that we hope last far beyond this crisis and support our elders and other people who need assistance now and in the future.
And I noticed you're sort of connecting people, but you're encouraging people to take that relationship where they want to take it. You're helping them make that initial connection, but not necessarily maintaining it for them.
Correct. So we do the initial match. We try to protect their privacy and let them decide how they want to build that relationship. And we've gotten really good feedback from people who just wanted to know that there was someone there if they needed something, someone who would check in on them, because we have a lot of elders who are isolated. And they were already somewhat isolated, and now they don't have access to a lot of the services because of the, you know, decimation of the Meals on Wheels crews, senior centers shutting down. So to know that they have that is sometimes enough. But
so, Paige,
certainly the grocery
yeah.
and medication runs help too.
So I'm wondering if you have any thoughts for Mary, a listener who writes, do you have any suggestions on how family members or friends can help older people confined to their homes, especially those living alone, stay busy and positive so they don't see a decline in their mental or physical health?
I do think that outreach, even by a phone call, and maybe even a couple of times a day, It can be if there are family members that are at a distance, if there's a way to teach them to use technology like Zoom or FaceTime. What some families are doing is creating a project, like, could you go find this thing and take a picture of it for me in your house? Lots of different ways to kind of keep them stimulated. But again, what we're hearing from some of our elders is just that angst that's not about, will I get the virus, but being connected to a broader community is important to them.
Well, Paige Wheeler-Fleury, thanks for coming on.
You're very welcome.
She's co-founder of Oakland at Risk, which matches healthy adults to help a person at risk get supplies. And we've got lots of calls and comments coming in. Let me go next to Brad in San Carlos. Hi, Brad.
Hi.
Hi, what would you like to share?
So my name is Brad. I am the spokesperson for the American Distilling Institute based here in California. And as of last week, craft distilleries around the country were given the authorization to begin making hand sanitizer. I have a small distillery here in San Carlos. I'm here now, and I'm making hand sanitizer. So just wanted to get the word out. You can go on our website, distilling.com, and we'll have a map there showing local distilleries that are making and distributing hand sanitizer. And you can also get in touch with me directly, brad@distilling.com, and I'd be happy to talk to you.
Wow, thanks for the resource, Brad. Really appreciate it.
I will say one more thing, a question, a request, actually. One of the in short supply, some of the ingredients for making hand sanitizer, we're having a very difficult time getting a hold of isopropyl alcohol, glycerin, and hydrogen peroxide. So if any listeners are out there that have any resources by which we can access these chemicals, it would greatly help.
All right. Well, thanks for letting us know. That was Brad in San Carlos. And Nadine writes, on KQED's morning report, there was a piece about school kids not having computers to complete their assignments at home. All they have are cell phones. Surely one or more of the tech giants in the Bay Area could donate laptops that would help these students. If there's an organization who would put this together, I would gladly donate to helping these kids complete their assignments. Kira Kazantzis, do you have any thoughts for Nadine about that?
Yes. You know, I understand already that companies like HP and Cisco have donated both cash, laptops, and other equipment to our emergency assistance providers down here in San Jose. You know, we have a cash assistance program that prevents homelessness that has now had to scale up massively. We have our superhero nonprofit Destination Home just raised $11 million in the last 2 weeks. Launch this new program, but everything's being done remotely. We're going to have a massive number of volunteers to even process the applications. And so they all need the equipment and the back end technology to do that work. We're really grateful because we see these giants like Cisco and HP stepping up, but we're going to need more. And so, you know, we're hoping through our SiliconValleyStrong.org website that folks can volunteer to help and donate money to help with that effort.
And Sandy writes, I live in a tiny 300 square foot home, so I go out for twice daily walks. I bring a garbage bag and pick up trash along the road. If everybody did this when we got out and walked, we will emerge from this with a cleaner, healthier neighborhood. Thanks for writing in about that, Sandy. And let me go next to caller Danielle in San Francisco. Hi, Danielle.
Yes, hi. My name is Daniela Rible. Thank you so much for taking my call. I am working with a partner and friend of mine who's the founder of We Act Locally. And what we do, we've been mobilizing and inspiring people and company groups through engagement experiences that support local communities. And we've had to reshift our focus, like many, coming up. And so what we're doing is we're reaching out to our nonprofit partners to see how we can get more people involved in service and volunteering. So we're looking at helping organizations build hygiene kits. We've talked to one of our partners, Simply the Basics. I've been talking to food banks, reaching out to YMCAs. We're also looking at doing some Zoom calls to help the isolation with the elderly and other types of virtual assistance. So if any of your callers would like to contact me at Daniela@weactlocally.com, or they can go to our website or follow us on Facebook or Instagram. We're just compiling a list of resources to help with local service as best as we can.
Well, Daniela, thanks for sharing. Holly writes, what about resources in smaller cities in the Bay Area, like San Bruno, South San Francisco, et cetera? Elena, I'm not sure what the reach is of the San Francisco Foundation. Are you also Greater Bay Area as well in terms of support and resources for smaller areas?
We are. So we serve the 5-county Bay Area, so San Francisco, Alameda, Contra Costa, Marin, and San Mateo. But I would also say this is what community foundations are set up to respond to local needs and communities. So the Silicon Valley Community Foundation is taking a real leadership role here, the East Bay Community Foundation. So, the cities that fall in those regions would definitely be able to get support.
And, you know, one of the things I was struck by is you said that you were trying to also fund organizations that are working on issues related to racism and xenophobia. So what specifically are you doing? What entities are you trying to support?
So we're going to be taking applications, and we actually have always worked on this issue given our foundation's focus on racial equity and economic inclusion. But, you know, as quickly as this virus has spread, it's also stirred up some long-held biases, and especially for people of Asian descent. So folks are experiencing a rise in harassment and even violent hate crimes. And there's some organizations on the ground, like the Asian Law Caucus, for example, that have always worked on this but are seeing a real uptick in need.
Well, Richard writes, I went to pick up food at St. Anthony's. Everything was dated 2018. Cans were damaged. Some packaging was open. Susan Bateson, is there an issue with getting, you know, food that isn't expired? Or do you know what might be behind Richard's experience?
Sometimes people donate older products, and I would imagine when times like this are so busy that there isn't adequate screening at some sites. So first off, if you are donating food, remember it needs to be before expiration date. And item number two is if you're receiving food, please check the dates. And the USDA does have really good guidelines about food expiration dates and Best Buy dates. And so if you look on USDA, probably .gov, I would think, you will be able to find information on that. Again, if someone would like that kind of information, you can reach me at info@accfb.org.
And again, Susan Bateson is Executive Director of the Alameda County Community Food Bank. We have Kira Kazantzis with us, CEO of Silicon Valley Council of Nonprofits, and Elena Chavez-Quezada, Director of Programs at San Francisco Foundation. And we also have Eunice on the line from Oakland. Hi, Eunice.
Hi, Nina. Thank you for your work. I just wanted to remind people that the best way to help is when we go to the market to buy food. If we can just buy the food that we need and leave food for other people, that would be a great help. I think that's a good place to start. And I also wanted to share two organizations that are doing amazing work to help people, especially in terms of food. No Kid Hungry is a very, very important organization that is providing nutrition food to families and kids that are out of school right now that depend on school lunches. So this is a very important organization that is working across the country. And the other organization that our listeners may be very familiar with is the World Central Kitchen, WCK.org, that's doing amazing work in the United States and around the world, feeding hungry people, especially in times of crisis.
Eunice, thanks for those resources and also the reminder about how overbuying affects people who are on more limited incomes and can only shop at certain times of the month, and it's very hard if they go there and everything's been cleared out. We have this question from Thomas, who writes, I'm 61. I have leukemia, lymphoma, skin cancers. I work 6 days a week, saving to get an apartment. I sleep in my car. It's a hard life. I'm a clean person to avoid infections. I'm homeless due to a recent divorce, living in Santa Clara, looking for a room. If someone owns multiple homes or has an empty space I can sleep in, please help. Yeah. Kira, any thoughts in terms of resources for the homeless?
Yes, yes. You know, in Santa Clara County, we have a robust and completely coordinated homeless prevention and homeless response system. It's our county continuum of care that is facilitated by Destination Home. They are standing up numerous hotels where folks who are exactly like the gentleman who just emailed you and need a really safe place to stay. We're making sure that those folks are getting bedding, all the personal hygiene stuff that they need, and also food delivery. So this is kind of when you donate to Silicon Valley Strong, that money goes there. That's one of the first places that money goes to. It goes to small businesses, it goes to individual, and it goes to that type of response.
And Elena, I don't know if you have any thoughts, too, for Thomas.
No, I think what was just said is spot on.
You know, we just have about a minute left. I'm going to see if I can squeeze Mary Jane from Palo Alto in here. Hi, Mary Jane.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. We're a community across Palo Alto, East Palo Alto, Menlo Park, Mountain View, called Cafania. And what we're seeing is the biggest need, in addition to the shelter-in-place support, is rent assistance for April 1st for those low income around here. They're really desperate situations. So we have a guide. We can give a link to people, cafania.org, or go to Live in Peace. They have a website in East Palo Alto, and they're getting emergency assistance right now. So just to be thinking about those who are facing April 1st.
Well, Mary Jane, thanks so much for saying that. And I don't know if Elena Chavez-Quezada, if you have any final thoughts for Mary Jane in the last 30 seconds about just rental assistance, because I also know that this is an area that you are so focused on at San Francisco Foundation.
Yeah, this is a big focus for the fund, the emergency fund that we've set up. There are so many organizations working on housing right now, serving the homeless. And I also just want to say this is an important policy opportunity to put in a moratorium on eviction. So we're also working at that level as well.
Elena Chavez-Quezada of San Francisco Foundation, Kira Kazantzis of Silicon Valley Council of Nonprofits, and Susan Bateson, Executive Director of the Alameda County Community Food Bank. Thanks to all of you for joining us today. And thanks to our listeners for sharing their resources and inspiring us with the ways that they're helping. I'm Mina Kim. You're listening to Forum.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.